want to welcome you today. Listen, we do stuff like this throughout the year because we love God and we love our community that he has placed us in. And I'm so proud of you. So if you are a guest, thank you so much for being here with us today. I just want to talk to you for a few minutes. I want to talk about walking in blessings, and actually it really boils down to making a choice. And so just before I get there, let me just do a quick plug for our family ministries. If you hadn't been in church for a while and you got kids, if you know people with kids, if you got grandkids that live in the area, let me tell you, I do not think there is a better ministry to children and students than anything going on here in Atlanta than what we have regularly. We get parents that come and they're like, I really feel like they're like, yeah, we got to put up with the adult service because our kids love what's going on. And we'll take that. That's okay. You know, I mean, as long as they're coming around. So if you don't go anywhere, man, I just encourage you, come back. Your kids will be loved in this place like they're not going to get anywhere else except right in your home. And that's what we strive to do, is reinforce the same things that you're teaching your kids, aiming them in the direction to where they'll follow God. So every Sunday we do all from babies all the way up to fifth grade. During this service and the one following, we've got middle school ministry. Every Wednesday night, middle and high school ministry. We would love, 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 if you got kids, if you know people with kids, let them know that there's just some good things going on here, and we'd love for you to have to bring them with you. As we get started, I was thinking about this. It's been a while back, but we were out at a park, and we foster, and right now we've got two little boys with us, 5 and 7, and so I was out with the 5-year-old, and we were walking, and he is incredibly talkative, very creative, and did I mention incredibly talkative? You could pick him up in the car from after school, and he'll talk from the time he gets in the car to the time he gets. And I'm thinking, at 5 years old, how do you have so much to say? I mean, you don't even have that much life, you know. And anyway. So we're out at the park, and he and I are walking. And we get to this place, and you could go in a couple of different directions. And so he looks at me and says, "Which way, Mr. Mike?" And I was like, "Oh, I don't." He said, "We just have to choose a path." So he was like, "Okay, well, let's choose this one." Okay, so we start walking. He says, "Where does this path go?" I don't know. You know, I don't know where it ends up, and that wasn't good enough for him. So he said, "Well, let's pretend it ends up at McDonald's," you know? So I was like, cool, you know, that's good with me. And so we're walking along, and we're talking about McDonald's, and like I said, the man can talk. So we're talking about all the food he loves, and the hamburgers, and the chicken nuggets, and he and I like to get a vanilla milkshake and dip our french fries in the vanilla milkshake. If you haven't tried it, it's good, let me tell you. And so we're living this out to where you can almost like taste McDonald's. And so the trail wasn't really that long, so we get to the end of it, and guess what? There's a picnic table. That was it. And so he looks up at me like only you could as a 5-year-old, and he said, "Where's McDonald's?" You know? Somewhere along the line, he had convinced himself that that's where we were going. And I was like, "Hey, don't forget, we were just pretending that we were going to McDonald's. There wasn't really a McDonald's." And he looked up at me and he said, "Mr. Mike, we should have choosed another path." And the reason that kind of stuck out to me was, here's the principle. Doesn't matter how much you pretend or hope or wish, you end up where the path you were on leads you. There is a destination to that path you're on. It doesn't matter how much you try to convince yourself you're going to McDonald's. You can dream about it. I think I was getting fat just thinking about the food, you know. I mean, you can, my mouth was water. It can be so real here that you got yourself convinced. But if the path didn't lead to McDonald's, you ain't ended up at McDonald's. You're just going to end up somewhere else because you end up where that path leads. And so I just want to talk about that. And my goal this morning is to make you think. You know, I'm always trying to be very aware. God sends us guests all the time, and especially on days like this. And so I don't want you to come here and feel like, you know, I was a little timid about going to church anyway, because last time I went to church, I mean, I already feel bad. Church made me feel worse, you know. And I'm not here to aim you in the direction of trying to make you feel bad. Okay, I just want you to think this morning. So I want to offer you a couple of things. My hope is you'll leave today and something will stick in there, and you'll say, you know what, to put some thought into that, because really where your life ends up is about the choice that you make. It's about the path that you decide to walk on. I put this down in my notes, and there's a writer, his name's Max Lucado. He writes a lot of Christian books, and I just love it. He paints a lot of word pictures with his books, and so he was talking about choices in one. Here's what he writes. He says, "As I work on this manuscript, I'm seated at a desk in a hotel room. I'm away from home, away from people who know me, away from family members who love me. Voices that encourage and affirm are distant, but voices that tantalize and entice are near. It says, although the room is quiet, if I listen, their voices are crystal clear. A placard on my nightstand invites me to lounge in the lobby where I can make new friends in a relaxing atmosphere. An advertisement on top of the TV promises me that with the request of a late-night adult movie, my fantasies will come true. In the phone book, several columns of escort services offer love away from home. An attractive gold-letter volume of a book is there in the nightstand, promising revelation. On the TV, a talk show host discusses the topic of the day, how to succeed at sex in the office. He says, voices, some for pleasure, some for power, some promise acceptance, some promise tenderness, but all promise something. And I think all of us, we're walking this path. And it's not like you only have one time to make this decision in life, right? If it was one time and then you're on the path and there never is another decision, that's not too hard. But what happens is along this path, there are forks here and there, right? There's intersections, there's different branches, and there's all these ways that we can go. And so every time we come to one of those, there's something calling to us, drawing us towards what we think's going to offer us life, what we think's going to settle us, going to quiet us, give us peace, give us the hope that we're looking for, the things in life that we so desire. And the choice is up to us which one we want to follow. So this is what I put down on your outline. Grab your outline there, and we're gonna look at a little bit of this morning. This is what the Bible says. Back in Deuteronomy, Moses leading God's people, and God speaks to Moses, and he starts it off with telling God's people, look, before you today, there's two paths. And you got a choice. You get to choose which path you want to follow. Here's the way he puts it. It says, see, I'm setting before you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing if you obey the commands of the Lord your God that I'm giving you today. The curse if you disobey the commands of the Lord your God and turn from the way that I've commanded you today by following other gods which you have not known. He says, I'm setting before you a choice. Now listen, here's what I believe. Jesus came, gave his life for us. Jesus breaks the curse of sin and death. So I don't think God's sitting up in heaven trying to figure out ways to curse you. The curse has already been broken. So to put it in a better perspective for us, here's what we're saying when we come to this choice. It's not saying, oh, I'm afraid if I don't obey God, God's going to curse me. No, it's saying, you know what? When I walk with God, I walk in his blessing, under his covering. I walk in his direction, allowing him to bring things that he wants into my life. If you could think of it like me standing up here with a giant umbrella. I'm covered by God. I'm walking with him. If I choose not to walk with him, then I'm choosing a different path that just basically says, God, I'm going to walk outside of your covering. And God says, you know what happens when you walk outside the covering? There are just consequences to the choices that you make. And so I don't think he's sitting up there saying there's like this proactive curse. I think there's just a reactive curse. When we walk away from God and we walk our own way, there's just some things that happen in life. And then the truth is, are you ever like this? We get to down some road with life and we go, but I thought this was leading me to McDonald's. And now you're at a place going, this isn't where I thought I would be. This wasn't what I was telling myself. But if you're able to look back and be really honest, maybe you're able to say, yeah, but boy, it sure was the path I was on by the decisions I made, by the things I chose, by the way I walked, by who I was chasing after God or after myself. So I put this down on your outline. It's my choice. God's way or my way. See God leaves us that opportunity. Christ came, gave his life, offered forgiveness to everybody. It's what the Bible says. For the whole world. He says, I am offering you forgiveness, but he leaves the choice up to you. Do you want to surrender and follow, or do you want to walk your own way? He says, it's your choice. The option is yours. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians goes on, and he talks a little bit about what this looks like, what maybe some of the end results of some of the paths we take in choosing God's path or choosing our own. I put this on your outline, Galatians 5:1. It says, it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then and do not let yourselves be burdened again by the yoke of slavery. He said, look, some of you, God changed your path. You said, I'm going to follow God. I'm surrendering my life to God. I'm going to walk with him. And you get on that path. He said, why would you choose another? Why would you go back down, back to where you once were? Why would you walk up? You know, that ends up being what it calls a yoke of slavery, being where you're just in bondage again to those old things that you've been trying to get rid of. He's basically telling the followers, like, you guys know this. Here's what he says in Galatians 5:13. He says, you, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge in the sinful nature. God has set us free. We're walking down his path. He says, don't go wandering off right and left, chasing after everything. He said, that doesn't lead to life. He says, rather serve one another in love. Now I'm going to have some more verses up on the screen taken out of the Message translation of the Bible. This is that chapter. It just continues. I just didn't have enough room to put them all on your outline. So if you want to just write it down and read it later, man, I would challenge you. It's a great way, a great thing to think through. But the Apostle Paul takes it one more step and he says, okay, you know what it looks like when you start following these paths? And he talks about the difference between the two basic paths that we can follow, going our own way or going God's way. So here's what he says. Just read along with me. He says this in verse 19. He says, it's obvious what kind of life develops out of trying to get your own way all the time, walking your own path, just choosing, saying, I got this, I'm good, this is what I think is going to make me happy. Here's what he says. Here's the end of the path, okay? Repetitive, loveless, cheap sex. A stinking accumulation of mental and emotional garbage. Anybody ever accumulated some mental and emotional garbage? I'm there, right? You go down your paths and then you're thinking, I should have never been down here. We carry that with us. Frenzied and joyless grabs for happiness. Trinket gods. Magic show religion. Paranoid loneliness. Cutthroat competition. All-consuming yet never satisfied wants. A brutal temper. An impotence to love or be loved. Divided homes and divided lives. Small-minded and lopsided pursuits. The vicious habit of depersonalizing everyone into a rival. Uncontrolled and uncontrollable addictions. Ugly parodies of community. Then he says this, I could go on, to which I bet every one of them was like, please don't. You know, I mean, that's just enough. He says, this isn't the first time I've warned you. You know, if you use your freedom in this way, you'll not inherit God's kingdom. Here's what he's saying. I'm giving you a picture of the end of those paths. You may hope the path leads somewhere else. You may pretend, dream. You may work at convincing yourself to the point where you almost believe that at the end of this path is going to be the life I'm looking for. And the Apostle Paul says, now, here's what's at the end of those paths. They never lead to life. They never lead us to where we're really hoping to be in our lives. So then he goes on and he contrasts. He said, but when you choose to follow the path of God, here's what he says. He says, but what happens when we live God's way, right? Choosing that path. He brings gifts into our lives, much the same way that fruit appears in an orchard. Things like affection for others, exuberance about life, serenity. Remember, I don't remember what it was. There's a sitcom on TV where that character kept going, serenity now, serenity now. And I don't know if obviously none of y'all have ever seen that. So, but what I was thinking was, I mean, isn't that what we want? Peace? I mean, do you ever think, is that possible? I mean, really? I could live at peace. And he says, This is what following God brings in your life. Serenity said, we develop a willingness to stick with things, a sense of compassion in the heart, and a conviction that a basic holiness permeates things and people. It changes how we view the world around us. It says we find ourselves involved in loyal commitments, not needing to force our way in life, able to marshal and direct our energies wisely. Then he goes on, he says this, since this is the kind of life we've chosen, it's reminding them, look, you signed up for this. Now listen, if you're here today, you're not a Christ follower, then this is just not for you. You can be like, yeah, y'all need to clean up your life, you know? I mean, y'all say y'all live it, let me see it. It's totally okay, it's very fair. To those of us who follow God, he's saying, hey, if you choose to live this way, you choose your path, don't go wandering off on all those other ones because they're not leading where you want to be. And here's the bottom line, you already know it. Because we're not stupid. We already kind of know that our life isn't ending up where we want when we choose to go that way. He says, since this is the kind of life we've chosen, the life of the Spirit, let us make sure that we do not just hold it as an idea in our heads or a sentiment in our hearts. You know what that means? That means you said, I'm going to follow God. It's not just like, yeah, it sounds like a great idea. Oh, I feel like I should follow God. See, that's not enough when it comes to all of this. He says, but work out its implication in every detail of our lives. Basically saying, live it out. Choose to walk in it. Let it affect everything that you do and everything that you are. So that means we will not compare ourselves with each other as if one of us were better and another worse. We have far more interesting things to do with our lives. Each of us is an original. So here's the bottom line. God sets before you a choice. He says you can choose one of these paths. You can go your own way. And Paul explains, he says, that's where that life ends up. And I think when if we're honest with ourselves, myself included in this, far too often we see those traits coming about in our life. And we don't want to be there. And I'm just here to tell you this morning, there is an end to the path you're on. The path you're on leads you somewhere. And so if you want to change where you're going, you need to change your path. You need to choose a different path. So I want to give you just two things. What does the path of following God look like? Because we could talk about so many things, right? And I mean, if you ever thought, you know, like, that's a big book. You know, God, could you kind of boil it down so I could begin to understand? Like, I don't even know where to start. I don't know what to do. How do I mark my life? You know, there were some people in Jesus' day. They didn't have the same reason, but they came and asked him pretty much the same thing. Can you boil this down? Jesus, what is most? But the religious leaders of Jesus' day came, and they were trying to test him and trip him up. But it's the same question we ask from our heart. God, what is most important? They say, okay, Jesus, sum it up for us. What's the most important commandment? And here's what Jesus says in Matthew 22. He says this, he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. So the first thing I put on in there was love God. You want to know how to get on the right path or how to mark if you're on the right path? Is God a priority in your life? Now listen, there's a difference between a priority and an option. And I think sometimes in our lives, God's an option, right? You know, I mean, think about your phone. You got all these apps. And you got that God app in your life somewhere. And every now and then you kind of turn it on. Oh, God, I need you. You know, Lord, here I am. Would you come through for me? And then, you know, that kind of. We hope it just runs in the background, you know, while everything else is going on. But the truth is, God knows where his place is in your life. And so the question just for you today is where is God in your life? Is he an option among other things? Is he one of the things that you love? And I love God until there's something else that I can love a little more, and then I love that a little more for a while. Or is he the priority? Are you loving him with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength? Listen, I'm married. My wife Elaine runs the family ministry. She's instrumental in doing all that we did today. And if I could tell Elaine over and over how much I love her, right? I love you, I love you, I love you, till she was almost like sick of hearing it. I could bring her candy, I could bring her flowers, right? I could, you know, like we do to God, we give offerings. We, oh, you know, here, let me show you. I'm just going to tell you, let me show you how much I love you. I could do all of that, and it might be okay for a little while until maybe she found out, like, I had another lover. Then she would say, you know what, I'm not the priority in your life. Your love doesn't really mean a whole lot. As a matter of fact, let me ask you this. If she found out I had another lover, would I be walking in the blessings of marriage anymore? You know? Probably not. As a matter of fact, I may not be cursed, but I can imagine there'd be a lot of cursing going on. You know, you look good. We ain't flying that way. You know. And so when we think about it in our lives, when we think about it in our relationship, we get it. We go, yeah. I mean, obviously, if you got somebody you're married to, if you've got you know, boyfriend, girlfriend, or you're aiming in that direction, and you found out there was somebody else, you would go, Dad, that's not what love is. When you love somebody, they become the number one. I said, God knows if you got other lovers. He knows where your heart is. So again, look, not my job to make you feel guilty. I just want to ask you the question. Is God a priority in your life? Are you walking on that path that says, I'm following after you? Jesus tells us what that would look like. Okay, look there on your outline. It's John chapter 14. So this is what, if we love God, this is what our life would look like. Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. My Father will love them and will come to them and make our home with them. Anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. It's pretty simple, right? Our love for God is shown by how we live our life. Are we obeying and following? Right? Because he can't get a lot plainer. If we love him, we obey him. If we don't obey him, we don't love him. We can say it. Again, we're going to McDonald's, baby. I can taste the food. But I end up at a picnic table. Why? Because that's the pattern. It didn't matter what I tried to convince myself of. It's how I'm living. In the Old Testament, the Saul was the king of Israel, and he did some crazy stuff and dishonored God in a lot of ways. And he gets to this one point where he's trying to make it up to God, right? And so he comes and he begins to just offer. I need to offer God every sacrifice I can. You know, give me bulls and rams and sheep and you know whatever else, and just let's lay it all out, God, because I want you to know how sorry I am. And God speaks to Saul through the prophet Samuel, and he says, listen, to obey is better than sacrifice. So God, getting back down to the heart of it, but the truth is, we're not too far away from that, are we? We get into sacrifice mode, right? It's been a bad week. Let me get to church. I'll give in the offering. You know what? I'll serve in the nursery. I've been so bad, I'll serve in the nursery. You know, I mean, God, I'm doing my pens, baby. What else can I sacrifice? God, I'm sorry. And I think God says, look, I will forgive you because we serve an incredibly forgiving God. But I think that same message would apply. God said, I don't want you to live your life being sorry. I don't want you to live your life going your own way and then trying to sacrifice your way back in, going your own way and sacrifice your way back in. He says, to obey is better than sacrifice. As a matter of fact, he says, if you know me, if you love me, you'll find that you have a desire to obey me. Now listen, don't flip the two, okay? Don't try to go out of here and say, oh, I got to prove to God how much I love him by obeying him. That never works. That leads to dead religion. That leads down a path you do not want to go down, because in our own, we're never going to measure up anyway. Okay, the obedience comes after we realize, you love me like that? You did that for me? You promised to never leave me? Nothing can snatch me out of your hand? You have life for me? You have all these things that we read? They're in store. What can I do? See, so if you have a hard time obeying and following God, maybe you just don't know him that well. Maybe you've been caught up in trying to prove to him that you're worthy instead of just saying, God, I just want to know who you are. Because what I found is people get to know him, they begin to say, man, I trust him. And as you begin to trust him, you find, you know what, I can obey him because of the way that he loves me. Disobedience, walking outside of God's path, it has a consequence. Every path you're on leads somewhere. Don't fool yourself into thinking that it doesn't. This morning, maybe check the path that you're on. If you want to be walk in blessings, the first thing we do is check and say, is God my priority? Do I love God? The second thing, it's something I hope marks my life. I would love at the end of life for somebody to sum up my life with basically these two statements. I hope people say this about our church. I hope if you're around here for a while, you'll say this about our church, that they love God and they love others. That's the second thing. That's what God has called us to do. Back to that place where they were saying, God, boil this down. Jesus, what is most important, right? The first thing he said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the first and greatest commandment. And then he says this, the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and prophets hang on these two commandments. This is what it's all about. Where is God in our life? What's our relationship with God like? What's our relationship like with each other? Let me tell you, relationships with one another aren't always that easy. As a matter of fact, it's a lot easier to love from a distance, isn't it? And a lot of times in church, we get good at that, right? Love you, bro. What's up? Love you, too. Love ya, right? You know, y'all will leave today, and we'll be saying that. Love ya, love ya, love ya. You know when it gets messy? It's when we become family. because middle of Thanksgiving dinner, are you feeling like telling Uncle So-and-so, love ya? You know, you're probably going like, you make me madder than, you know, anybody. I mean, because people close to us can, man, they can rub us and bring out just the stuff inside of us that we didn't even know and we've been trying to hide. But the Bible says when we come into this kind of relationship, when we're really following God, when we learn to love others, it's not about just loving from a distance. It's about loving up close and saying, how am I doing there? As a matter of fact, Jesus says this is how we'll be known to the world. Look at that, John 13. He says, a new command I give you, love one another. And then he doesn't just say love them. He says, this is what it should look like. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And then he says this, by this, everyone will know that you're my disciples. And he repeats it, if you love one another. So people that don't follow after God, when they begin to look at our lives and look at our church, are they seeing something different in us by the way we relate to each other? Are they seeing that maybe we're on a different path than they are? Because we've chosen not to condemn, not to backbite, not to down, not to separate, because we've chosen to love those close to us. And here's the deal. If we've chosen that path, our life should end up at a different destination than their life is ending up at. Just the way it goes, right? If they've chosen to walk their own way, their life is going to follow that path. If we've chosen to walk God's way, put him first and to love each other, our life's going to end up in a different path. And then people that don't know God are going to look at us and say, you know what? I may not believe everything they believe, but those people ended up somewhere different in their life than I did. They love. They love each other. There's something about that community. There's something about what is going on there. It's the way God said we would be known to the world. Last thing on there is, what does this love look like? In 1 John 3:16, it says this is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. Then it says this, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. And then he goes on, if you want to read in that, in verse 17, it gets really practical. He says, so what this means is if you have material possessions, you've got somebody and you're in relationship with that doesn't, you're to share and help. It gets very practical. And then he says this in verse 18, don't just love with words. Love with deeds. That's when we lay down our lives. It's an action for our friends. So the question I was asking myself just in all of that is, do I love more with words than I do with actions? So let me ask you, we're going to pray. Where are you in this? Is God your, is he your priority? Have you found yourself at one point you got on that path and then, man, just to walk in life, there's been some forks in the road and some turns and you come to some intersections and those voices, and let me tell you, those voices are powerful and they've been kind of calling and drawing and you say, you know, to just get really honest, I kind of left that path and I started chasing after this. Let me tell you, to get back on the path that leads to life with God, it's only one step away. God is never far from you. So maybe this morning for you, it's just turning back around, saying, God, I don't want to be on that path anymore. I'm ready to follow after you. Maybe you would look at your life and say, you know what? I think I got God in the right priority, the place in my life, but I don't know that I really love others. Man, would you let God deal with your heart about that? Maybe today, maybe he'll give you some action. You can say, I'm going to go beyond words. I'm going to let the people around me know that I love them. Will you bow your heads?